I'm returning to the secret place, just an altar and a flame. Love is found here in our sacred place. Hear your voice, I see your face. You're still my first love. You're still my only one. You're still my first love. You're still my only There's a table just for you and me. Break the bread and pour the wine.
We gave ourselves 1 year to get this dialed in.
Perfect union, nothing in between. I am yours and you are mine. You're still my first love. You're still my only one. You're still my first love. You're still simple. I feel my heart beating out of my chest. I wanna stay forever like this. May the flame of my
I feel my heart beating out of my chest. I wanna stay forever like this. May the flame of my heart always be lit. I wanna burn forever like this. Lord, set my heart on fire. Set my heart on fire, Jesus. Set my heart aflame. Set my heart aflame. You're still my first love. You're still. You're still my first love. You're still my only one. And my heart burns for you. And my heart
everybody, and welcome to this Rise Up Monday, September 9th, year of our Lord, 2024. Here we are. What a beautiful setting behind us. You see the sun rising over the beautiful water, over the beautiful mountains, over this beautiful earth. I see some newcomers, some new faces in the live chat this morning. And if you are new to Rise Up, welcome, first and foremost. Second of all, if you are a God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-having brother or sister in Christ, do me a favor. Click that thumbs up. Make sure that you've shared. And let's get busy in the word of the Lord. Let's get busy worshiping. You know what's crazy about that song is it says, you were my first love. Okay? Well, you always hear that a father is a daughter's first love. But our Father in heaven is all of our first loves. We are his children. And we don't know what love is without God. We don't know how to love properly without the Holy Spirit. Now, we may think we know what love is. We may see love in our lifetimes. But until we harness the true power of the Holy Spirit, I don't think we really know what true love is. And he is all of our first love. And my heart does beat faster when I'm worshiping. That's how I feel. Is that how you feel? Folks, I want to say thank you for joining in today. And I also want to wish a big happy birthday to Reggie Garland. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Reggie, who's at work, but he'll see this later. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Reggie. Your shirt and the background all tie in nice together. Well, thank you. It's starting to get to that end of summer, beginning of fall, my favorite time of the year. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Barbara. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about show and tell. Show and tell. And we're going to be reading the verse of the day today out of the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 18. However, even though that is the chosen verse of the day, we're going to be kind of reading that entire group of verses in context, because when you read it from verse 1 to 18, it just makes it feel so much more real, so much more tangible, you know, so much more right in your face, you know? Everybody said, my favorite time of year too. Yeah, not the end of fall, but the beginning of fall, right? That switch from summer until fall, favorite time of the year. Jeremy, I've missed some shows because I've been on vacation. What's going on with your son? Is he still living with you? He is. He is. He actually went with me to Salt Lake this weekend. So he is. And things are going good. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. Good morning, Laura. Good morning, Lord Fishy. Barbara Peters, to celebrate my 76th birthday yesterday. Barbara, yesterday was your birthday? Well, you know, I can't keep going. Barbara Peters, come on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barbara. Happy birthday to you. Thank you very, very much. I didn't know that. I'm sorry I've been out of the loop a little bit traveling. I haven't seen you in a flannel shirt in a while. Well, like I said, it was about 50 degrees here this morning. So, you know, I got to dress appropriately. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's start the day out. Let's start the week out. Let's start this last quarter of the year out correct. Okay? And then we'll get right into the meat and potatoes of today's message. Okay, again, 1 John 3:18. And I did send you out a newsletter this morning. Okay, I'm back in action. Frankie's back. Eli and I can relax just a little bit because Frankie is back and we're all back together, three people doing 30 people's jobs. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get busy, all right? So, Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all back together. We've become so accustomed to worshiping your name, Lord, and your word together 5 days a week that when we miss one, you can feel it. It feels like something's missing. And Lord, even though that your word is forever and longstanding, and wherever we go, we can take it with us and we can speak and talk to you, the fellowship and the worship that we do together is so important to us And we're so grateful that you've opened up this pathway for us to be able to do this together. Why wouldn't we want to show that off to the world? Is there anything better than bringing your word to somebody? No, there is not. But there are multiple ways to do it. We can show and we can tell. Lord, help us today. Dive into this message. Dive into these verses. And really take something away that we can apply to our lives. Or maybe pass on to somebody else in our lives. That's going to help them further their journey with your beloved Son, Jesus. We thank you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, when you get ready to pray, do you almost feel nervous? Not nervous. I think that's probably not the right word to use. Like, how many people here played sports? Okay? Or how many people here golf today? When you play sports, let's say baseball, when you step up to that batter's plate, like you're ready. Like you got a little bit, your stomach's in a little bit of a knot, I wouldn't necessarily say nervous or anxious, but you're just, all your senses are heightened and you just want to make sure that you're in the right frame of mind to step up to that batter's box and hit that baseball. Or what about basketball? When you step up to that foul line, right? And everybody in there is watching. And you step up to that foul line and you go and shoot a basket, you get this like, you're all worked up, your heart's pumping, all your senses are working. Or if you're a golfer, literally, I have nothing to prove out on the golf course. I'm horrible. I love to golf, by the way, but I'm horrible. I can't even hit par. And I have nothing to prove out there. Not trying to make it famous. I'm just going out to play golf. And I still, right before I get up to hit that ball, golf ball, I try to calm down. I loosen my fingers. I relax a little bit. That is how I get when I go to prayer. I didn't used to get that way. But now when I get to prayer, I literally have to like take a deep breath. I don't know if you noticed. And I have to get into the frame of mind and get my soul right. And to do that, what I do, and I don't know about you guys, but when I do that, I picture the throne of God. I picture the animals that are depicted in Revelation there, the beasts. I picture the 12 elders that are worshiping and surrounding the throne. I picture Jesus right there at the right hand of God. And I picture walking into the throne room. And I picture kneeling down in front of God himself. So that kind of gets me in the right frame of mind. But I get that like, you know what I mean? CFAM says, I get that feeling when giving my testimony at church. See? And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's anxious. I don't know what it exactly is. But I do know it's because you are on fire for the Lord. And you just want to make sure that you're not misrepresenting, or you want to make sure that you're truthful and transparent and honest. And sometimes that just takes an extra deep breath. You know what I mean? We got 1,000 people watching. If you guys could help me share. Share it to your Rumble pages. I mean, your True Social pages, your X page, your Facebook page, your Getter page, your Telegram page, all of those. Gab, if you have them. I mean, who couldn't use the word of the Lord today? You know what I mean? Who couldn't use it? So before we get started today with the verse, and by the way, open up your verses of the day. You do have one. I'm back in the swing of things. And let me read to you from 1 Minute Prayer for Dads. Now, I've not read from this in a while, but I hold this book very near and dear to my heart because my mom got me this a few years ago. Actually, more than a few years ago now. But since we're talking about show and tell today, let's get into this. Living for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now, that's not the verse of the day, but if you wanted to follow along, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I think we could all apply that to our lives a little bit more than we are right now, right? There's a lot. Oh, just shared to my cousin, said Miss Mocha Powered. That's what I'm talking about. Bringing in the fam. That's what I'm talking about. Morning, J.A. Fish. God bless you. So there are a lot of things during a day that I do not do for the glory of God. There are a lot of things during a day that I don't do for the glory of God at all. So this is kind of convicting me because it says whatever you do. And there are things that I don't. When we think about being a dad, to the glory of God, we can see how crucial our parenting is to our Father in heaven. Today, be a dad to the glory of God. Or a mom. Lord, my prayer is that I am a dad to the glory of God. Raising my kids is good, but it's not enough if my children never grasp living for you. As I interact with my kids, help me to remember that my goal is to be a dad to the glory of God, not to the glory of myself or my wife or my family. It's to the glory of God. And I've got to remember this in everything that I do. Lord, I praise you for the children that you've given me. May they too do it all for the glory of God. Now let's get into the description of today's show. Who remembers, and raise your hand if you remember, who remembers show and tell in school? Now, I know that was a long, long time ago for people like myself. I'm approaching 50. But how many remember show and tell? Or if you don't remember having show and tell in school, maybe you remember your kids wanting to bring something to school for show and tell. But I remember show and tell very, very vividly. And there's a reason why I remember it so vividly. And it's not a good reason. Kind of. Maybe. I don't know. Meemaw Becky says, oh yes, kids loved the day when they could bring something to school to show them. CQ said, I loved show and tell. Right? All of you are saying the same thing. You remember it. Okay, good. Good. I loved that day so much. But do you know that I loved that day for something very different than a lot of people love that day? I didn't love show and tell because of things that I could bring to school and show and tell. Because I didn't have anything to bring to school to show and tell. Or at least I didn't think that I had anything that would rival somebody else's thing. So the things that I would bring would not be material things that we would get for Christmas or that we would get for gifts because we didn't really get much. And the things that we did get were stolen gifts because my stepdad was a thief who went to prison for burglary. So a lot of you guys know a lot about my life, but there's a lot of my childhood that you still don't know. Maybe you don't know that, maybe you do. So I was always embarrassed to bring things to school for show and tell. I was always embarrassed. I never wanted to bring anything from my house. I never wanted anybody to see the lack of things that we had. Now, had I had God in my life, it would have been a very different story. I would have been like my daughter, bringing in a Bible or something. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't have cared what people thought, but I didn't know really who God was. All I knew is that we were poor and we had nothing. So I didn't love show and tell because of the things that I could bring. I was embarrassed. I loved to see what other people brought. I loved to see others' toys and others' valuable things because it gave me hope that I would one day have cool things like that too. And I can remember like wanting the things that other people had so bad, but again, coveting your neighbor's possessions, right? But I was young, I didn't know. All I knew is everybody here has something that we don't have. So what I would do is, and I would get so embarrassed. What I would do is I would bring either something that we found in the woods, some crazy thing that we'd find in the woods because we were always out playing in the woods or with our friends or whatever. Or like I would bring a white t-shirt that I drew a Nike sign on and wrote Nike in marker so that I could have what the other kids had. I remember doing that. So when I would see other people bring something, I would love it because I'd be like, man, maybe someday I'll have that. How do I get that? I used to love to go spend the night at other kids' homes just to play with their toys because we didn't have that kind of stuff, right? We had rocks and sticks and mud and dirt, frogs, you know, things like that. Today, I want to put that in biblical terms. Okay? So help me spread the gospel, not gossip, today. All right? Teapot says, Jeremy, I can relate. I think a lot of you probably could. That's why I have no problem talking about those things. Because I feel like a lot of us come from the same kind of life. You know, I mean, even if we didn't, I wouldn't have a problem talking about those things today. I would have back in the day, but not anymore. Not anymore. All right. Let's. Barman says, I was too poor and I was bullied, but God is great. FL Girl says, I don't remember taking anything. We didn't have much. Yes, I felt embarrassed. Exactly. Exactly. I had a snail farm, says Kittenhead. The hose to drink from. I talked about that yesterday with my wife, actually. Jump Off says, I used to get jealous of all the food some people had. We never had food in our house. Same with me. I'd go to my buddy's house, whose parents were functioning drug addicts. So even though they were drug addicts, they were functioning. They had everything in the home. And I remember they had a pantry. We didn't have a pantry, okay? We didn't even have a pantry. But I remember they had a food pantry in their house. And I remember that you'd open up their food pantry and there would be food there. And I'd be like, food? You mean it's not a sack of potatoes, a gallon of milk, and some flour? This is actual food? I remember that. I remember that. Let's go to the verse of the day. But again, I want to read from 3:1. So 1 John 3:1. All the way to 18, okay? And I'm going to be reading today from the complete Jewish Bible, okay? Let's go there now. See what love the Father has lavished on us in letting us be called God's children. Man, I wish I would have known that when I was little, right? For that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it has not known him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. We're not the children that we were when we grew up. We're not the poor children that don't have anything. We're not the embarrassed to show what we do have children. We are God's children. That is a very special thing. Very special thing. Let's go back. We are God's children now, and it has not yet been made clear what we will become. We do know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he really is. And everyone who has this hope in him continues purifying himself, since God is pure. Everyone who keeps sinning is violating Torah. Again, this is complete Jewish Bible, so some of these words are not going to be in your ESVs or NIVs or whatever it is you're looking at. Indeed, sin is violation of Torah or of God's word, right? You know that he appeared in order to take sins or take away sins, and that there is no sin in him. So no one remains united with him continues sinning. Everyone who does continue sinning has neither seen him or known him. Now, I want to stop real quick because I want to be very clear here. You cannot stop sinning. If you could stop sinning, you would not need Jesus in your life. So when this says, whoever keeps on sinning does not know him, it is your desire to willingly sin that the Bible's talking about. Your flesh is weak, period. Your flesh is going to, by default, sin without you premeditating it. The idea of being a child of God is to get rid of the desire and the intentional action of sinning because you don't care. Because you'd rather do that than be holy or be righteous. That's what that's talking about. Now, that doesn't give you a free rein to just go off and sin wherever you want, because you don't want to. That's what this is talking about. You just don't want to. You want to please God. Let's bring back, let's go back to verse 7 now. Children, don't let anyone deceive you. It is this person that keeps on doing what is right who is righteous, just as God is righteous. The person who keeps on sinning is from the adversary, so from the devil. The person who keeps on sinning is from the adversary, because from the very beginning, the adversary has kept on sinning, knowing it's wrong, but not only continuing to sin himself, but trying to continue to get everybody else to continue to sin. Like, I'm going down, everybody's going down with me type of stuff, right? It was for this reason that the Son of God appeared to destroy these things of the adversary. No one who has God as his father keeps on sinning, because the seed planted by God remains in him. That is, he cannot continue sinning because he has God as his father. Here is how one can distinguish clearly between God's children and those of the adversary. Everyone who does not continue doing what is right is not from God. Likewise, anyone who fails to keep loving his brother is not from God. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love each other. Right? Now, you remember in the beginning of today's show, the song said, "You are our first love." Right? You are our first love. I love that it's talking about love during the beginning of the show and during these verses. And not be like Cain, who is from the evil one and murdered his own brother. So obviously, since we're reading from the complete Jewish Bible, that is talking about Cain and Abel. Cain is how they pronounce the word Cain. Why did he murder him? Because his actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Don't be amazed, brothers, if the world hates you. We, for our part, know that we have passed from death to life because we keep loving the brothers. The person who fails to keep on loving is still under the power of death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Is there anybody that you hate today? Is there anybody that does not deserve you to hate them today? Now we're getting to verse 18, but right now we're at verse 16. The way that we have come to know love is through his having laid down his life for us on the cross. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. If someone has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can he be loving God? And this right here is the verse of the day. Children, let us love not with words and talk, but with actions and in reality. Let us not love with words and talk, but let's love with actions and in reality. Now, is that saying don't have loving conversation come out of your mouth and roll across that evil tongue of ours? No. Is that saying that you should not spread the word of God through talking? No. Is that saying that you should not show love and kindness and compassion with the words and the rhetoric that comes out of your mouth? No. What that's really saying is, let us not love just with words and just with talk, because what trumps that is actions and in reality. So if you are lying or if you are playing the hypocrite, then you are most likely talking with just words. But this is saying, let your words grow into actions so people can see it in reality. Now, I brought up something else too. That's the verse of the day. But I brought up some other stuff here too. I want you to please open up your Bibles. We're already on 1 John, but I want you to go to just John, okay? Just John, not 1 John. So go back a little bit to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, okay? And we're going to go to John 13, verse 35. We're going to skip around here a little bit because I want to show you the show and tell aspect here. Okay? Legend Luke, we do not allow live links in the live chat, okay? If you'd like to put a link in, please put it in the comment section below, okay? John 13:35 says this, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Well, that doesn't mean just saying, "Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you so much." It's to show that love. That's John 13:35. "By this, people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So you have to show that love. Check this out. So you're already in John 13:35. Scroll back a little bit to John 13:17. Or just move your eyes back a little bit to verse 17 of that chapter. John 13:17. Because this is really powerful here. It says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Not you will be blessed if you share them. Not you will be blessed if you talk about them. What is them? The things that you now know that God has revealed to you. In John 13, 17, it says, and I'll repeat it again, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Well, talk about show and tell, huh? I can show you better than I can tell you. That's a saying that we all know. It's a saying that's used in movies. It's a saying that's used in TV shows, documentaries, everyday life, school classrooms, jobs. I can show you better than I can tell you. And then I want to go to the book of James. So if you want to just scroll forward to the book of James, I'm going to go read James 1, 23 through 25. So if you want to write that down or if you want to go to that portion of the Bible, James 1, 23, 25. And it says this. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no heeder, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It doesn't say he will be blessed in his speaking. He'll be blessed in his teaching. He'll be blessed in his talking. He'll be blessed because he read scripture to you. It says you will be blessed if you are a doer of these acts. You have to do them. That is why showing is so much more powerful than telling. So we have to ask ourselves, if we're going back to what I read in this book just a little bit ago, are we doing everything to the glory of God? Now, I think back to yesterday. Did I do everything yesterday to the glory of God? Or even more recent, think about this morning. This morning, did you do everything that you did today from the minute you woke up until right now? Did you do it for the glory of God? Now, you might say, well, how is feeding the dogs in the morning to the glory of God? I can tell you how. As you are feeding your dog or dogs or cats or your pets or whatever, you can pray over their mealtime. So like, well, I'll get my dog dishes. We have two dogs, okay? We'll get our dog dishes. Now, our German Shepherd actually takes like medication, CBD oil for her joint pain and things like that. But I'll get their dishes. And each one of them has a little bit of a different variety of what they eat or what they can eat. So when I pour the dog food in and I put their medications in or I crack an egg in or for their coat, for their fur, whatever. If I were to say, Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray over this meal for my dogs. I pray and thank you for you giving me these lovely fur babies, these fur kids in our family. And I pray for a long, happy life for them. Boom. That's for the glory of God. I didn't do that this morning, but I'll make sure I start doing it from now on. Thank you, God. Thank you for the teaching this morning. Right? When you leave your home, if you pray over your home and thank God for your home, maybe you have a masseuse or something. That is to the glory of God, right? So if we think about what did we do yesterday? How did we do the things we did yesterday? Was it all for the glory of God or was it not? And I can guarantee you that if we start making sure that everything we do, or at least do our best, we're not going to succeed everywhere. But if we even 20% of the things that we do in a day, if we do it for the glory of God, then we are doers who act according to his will, and we will be blessed for our doing. I can show you better than I can tell you. That's what I'm talking about. So let's get back to the biblical aspect of bringing something to school to show and tell. You never have to be embarrassed about showing the word of God living in you. You never have to be embarrassed. Here's a good example. Let's talk about somebody on the side of the street begging, needing, asking, requesting money for a shower, for a motel room, for anything. My mom, my beautiful mom, my mom has never, ever stopped and given anybody on the side of the street money who asked for, who needed it. My mom has always been the person that says, get a job, you loser. Why are you standing out here all day? That's been my mom. My mom called me while I was in Salt Lake this weekend, crying, telling me that she stopped. She saw that a family was trying to get a motel for the night, so they could take a shower and just sleep in beds. They had kids who were dirty and looked tired, she said. And my mom doesn't have any money. Like, she never has, right? We try to help her and take care of her as much as we can. Well, my mom stopped and gave them $20. Talked to them and said, God bless you. And she started crying when she told me that. And she said, they looked back at me in tears and said, God bless you too, ma'am. That act of doing that my mother has never done in her whole life changed her that day. It allowed the Holy Spirit to fill her, and she felt different. She felt strong and courageous. She wasn't embarrassed. Now, I can remember stopping and getting out of my car. I give people money. Anytime I have money on me, or even if I don't have money, I stop and at least give them the word of God now. But I can remember the first time that I would get out of my car, park, and go to where they were and talk to them. I felt embarrassed. Not from them. I felt embarrassed from all the people driving by going, thinking to themselves, oh, why is he out there with him? What's he doing? Oh, giving that bum more money. I used to feel embarrassed by going out there and by talking to them. But really, I just wanted to give them the gospel and hear a little bit about their story and find out who they were so I could pray over them. So we don't have to be embarrassed. Even if we're earthly poor, we are heavenly rich. And I can promise you that the way I felt, and some of you felt, like we talked about in the beginning of this show, where we were embarrassed to bring what we had to the table, where we felt embarrassed to bring what we had to show what we had to other children because we were poor. Well, guess what? You can be poor now, but you can be so heavenly rich that you don't have to be embarrassed about showing what God has given you. You don't. You don't have to feel like, oh, I'm going to start trouble, or oh, that person's going to be mad at me, or oh, these people aren't going to come to my house for a family get-together this holiday season because I have crosses up and I have shirts that say, you can't beat God or whatever. You don't have to be embarrassed by that, because I can promise you that the way those people are looking at you, regardless of what they say, is the same way that I used to look at people who had stuff and I didn't. And feel hope that maybe someday I would have that too. These people that are looking at you, that you feel embarrassed that they're watching you, they are looking at you with awe, in reverence. How can that person do that? How are they not embarrassed to stand up in the middle of an airport and preach the word of God? How are they not embarrassed to do that? Maybe someday I can do that too. So how the tables have turned. How the tables have turned. I can show you better than I can tell you. Amen. It is Ray Comfort time. Now, I don't have time to play this whole video because I talked so much, but let's go to Ray Comfort now.
Chicken or the egg?
I'll have to say the chicken.
The chicken.
What do you think?
The chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken?
Chicken.
And what about you?
The egg.
Was the egg fertilized?
You got me. You got me. Yeah, ain't no way.
Maybe God created the chicken, so then that's how the egg came.
You got me. I don't know. I didn't think that far into it, I guess.
Maybe most likely the chicken, I would say.
So if the chicken came first, it then laid an egg. Okay? Was the egg fertilized?
Done now.
The egg.
The egg?
Yes.
This chicken that produced the first egg, was the egg fertilized?
It would have to be.
So there's a rooster.
So there was a rooster.
So there's a rooster and a chicken. Where do they come from?
They all came from the stars.
You said, I am, we are stardust.
Yes.
What does that mean?
For me, the most astonishing fact is that the molecules that comprise our body are traceable to the crucibles of the centers of stars. And we are not only figuratively, but literally stardust.
Back in 2022, I lost two very important people in my life. Big figures. It really wasn't until February.
Nope.
Okay, so where did you come from?
I came from the stars.
No, you came from your parents.
Obviously, I did, yeah.
Where did they come from?
And they came from their parents.
And where did they come from?
From their parents.
Right back to Adam.
Correct.
Adam was created by God, and he made male and female, and he made the birds of the air and made them male and female so they could reproduce after their own kind. Okay, explain this to me. If you really believe in evolution, before it had eyes, how did it see? The eyes have to evolve because the thing's evolving from stardust.
Correct. So they probably didn't see. They felt.
Did it have a brain, or couldn't have had a brain until the brain evolved? So how did it think to look for food, and where did the food come from? And why did the food evolve? And did it have lungs? Do you think the chicken thing, before it evolved into chicken, had lungs?
I'm not too sure. It's all about survival instinct, so, you know.
It's not going to survive. It didn't have lungs. And if it breathed air, was the air 20% oxygen as it is now? And why did the air evolve? And why did it evolve lungs? And how did it survive before it had lungs? And see before it had eyes, and think before it had a brain, and eat before it had an appetite. Doesn't really make sense when you think about it, because you've got to translate that to elephants, horses, cats, cows, human beings. Every living thing that apparently evolved from stars had to evolve eyes and ears and a mouth and a nose and lungs and heart and kidneys. Let's go back to something more simple regarding that first chicken that came from the stars. Which came first in the chicken? Was it its blood? Or its heart or its blood vessels? Which evolved first?
I do not know the answer.
Well, if it was the heart, why did the heart evolve when there was no blood? If it was the blood, why did the blood evolve when there was no heart to pump it around? If there are no blood vessels, how did the blood get around the body of the chicken to keep it alive if there's no heart to pump it?
I've always had the doubts. It's like, we've been here for how long and we still haven't evolved, or what are we going to evolve into?
Can you think of anyone that isn't fully evolved? Anything on earth? Dogs have four legs, they have a tongue and eyes and ears. Everything's fully evolved. People have, they don't have half-evolved leg. You don't see someone with a semi-evolved leg or half an ear or half a nose, half an eye, half teeth. Everything's fully evolved, because the Bible says when God created all things, it was finished. So everything's finished. The fruits, the flowers, the birds, the trees, the nuts, the giraffes, horses, cats, cows, everything
is
fully
finished.
And what it does is disproves evolution and establishes the Bible in saying that God created everything fully finished with the ability to reproduce after their own kind as male and female. This young lady was not a Christian, but she had just started reading the Gospel of John and was finding it hard to believe. She said she didn't know if it had credibility. You're going to love what happened.
And I've started to read it. There are things that I do question about it. I started with John. I don't know if I can verify it.
You can verify it, and I'll tell you how you can do it in a few minutes. I want to digress a little bit and ask you this question. If you died today, where would you go?
I feel like I've been a fairly good person this far. I think I would go to, I don't know, a peaceful place.
You're a doctor, and in front of you is a patient who looks very, very well. Got a great physique. He goes to the gym every morning, but you know he's dying. He's got 2 weeks to live because you've seen x-rays and there's a poison seeping through his system. You've got a cure in your pocket. Do you give him the cure or show him the x-rays?
X-rays.
Why?
Well, to show him what's going on under there.
Yeah, if you give him the cure, he's going to say, what are you giving this to me for? I'm well, look at me. You've got to show him the x-rays and maybe make him a little scared. So he says, whoa, this is serious, doc. What should I do? And now he's ready for the cure. So you think you're morally well. You think you're a good person. I'm going to show you the x-rays.
Okay.
I'm going to make you sweat just a little.
Okay.
Can you be honest with me?
Yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Many.
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
I'm a liar.
Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small, in your whole life, irrespective of its value?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals?
Thief.
So what are you?
I am a thief.
No, you're a lying thief. Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Think so.
Do you love your mum?
I love my mum.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No.
No, of course not, because you respect her. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it in place of a filth word to express disgust, which is called blasphemy. So serious in the Old Testament, it's punishable by death. Have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's very famous. It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who's committed murder, but he keeps saying, judge, I'm a good person. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row, and your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. Janelle, I'm not judging you, but you've just told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and a self-righteous person, which is a sin in God's eyes. And saying you're a good person when you're not, you're like the rest of us. So if God judges you by those 10 commandments, on judgment day, are you going to be innocent or guilty?
That would be for him to determine.
Well, he says you'll be guilty. All of us are guilty. There's not a righteous person on the face of the earth. So if you're guilty on judgment day, would you go to heaven or hell?
I'm not sure.
Well, this is what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no self-righteous person will inherit the kingdom of God. So you've earned your wages. Because God's seen your secret thought life. Nothing is hid from his eyes. He gave you your brain, so he knows what you're thinking. And every time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go. But if you want to see the rest of Ray Comfort's video, you can obviously follow him on Ray Comfort Just Witnessing. And you can find a lot of stuff on Living Waters as well. All right, guys. Yep, it's that time. We got to go. Oh, I wish this show was longer, but I love you. I'm thanking you so much for joining us today. Mike Crispy's back. Frankie's back. Unafraid is back. Everybody is back in action. Nobody's traveling. Nobody's undercover anywhere. And then I'll see you again at 11 for 2 hours of Live from America. So join in on Mike Crispy next. Going to be a heck of a show starting out here on Monday. And you are not going to want to miss my 11 o'clock show because this weekend I uncovered a lot of stuff that we need to talk about. Okay? All right, guys. God bless you. Keep God first place as always. And show them better than you can tell them. And don't be embarrassed nor afraid. All right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I love you. God bless you. We'll take you out with some great music. And I'll see you at 11 o'clock, okay? All right, see you later.
Let the Spirit overtake my heart. Let the Spirit walk into this room, change us. Holy Spirit, come and heal physical bodies, come and heal.